He took them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he withdrew from them. She was washing her dishes like she had done a million times before. And she stacked them up to dry, and she got herself a tea towel, and she took the coffee mug, and she dried it off. And then she looked around her kitchen, and she was paralyzed because she forgot where the mugs went. Did they go in the top cupboard? Or maybe down beneath, or maybe in a drawer somewhere? There were just so many cupboards, and she didn't know where they went. That's how it started. And it kicked off 5 years of dementia, 5 years of not remembering, 5 years of forgetting who she was, not remembering her husband, not remembering her daughter. The minute her daughter found out that diagnosis, she moved into the house and stayed in the room next to her mother and cooked for her and cleaned for her and bathed her so gently. And now her mother is gone. And now the army of goodwill, all the church people with their casseroles and their sweetbread, they're all gone. What is she supposed to do now that the love in her life has withdrawn from the world? What is she supposed to do now that her mother has disappeared? Where is she supposed to go? He led them out as far as Bethany. And he put up his hands and he blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he withdrew from them. Carl Joseph Walker Hoover. Now that's a good name for an 11-year-old boy, isn't it? A football button. Carl Joseph Walker Hoover. He took his own life, 11 years old, Monday afternoon, April 6th, Carl Joseph Walker Hoover. He was tired of the kids accusing him of being gay. He was tired of their meanness. Look, there goes the little faggot. He was tired of them making fun of his clothes. He was tired of them threatening to hurt him. And on April 6th, he took his own life. His mother was downstairs in her kitchen making dinner, and she called up to him, "Carl Joseph Walker Hoover, come downstairs." And she went up the stairs into his room, and she saw him there, hanging. And now her whole life is gone. Her reason for living has withdrawn from the world. What is she supposed to do? Where is she supposed to go? The scripture says he took you as far as Bethany. And then he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. He was blessing them. He withdrew from them. He was their everything. He was everything. He was their reason for living. He was the Messiah, the Son of God. He was going to save Israel. He was going to take them right out from under the boot of Rome. They would follow him anywhere, but he went to the cross. And they couldn't follow him there. And they saw all their hopes up there hanging. And they put him in a tomb, in the ground. But on the third day, he rose again, and they had him back. Can you imagine? They had him back for 40 days. Can you imagine? They had him back to eat with and to pray with and to sing with and to break open the scripture with. They had him back for 40 days, but then he took them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hand. And he blessed them. And as he was blessing them, he withdrew from them. He let himself be carried off into heaven. What are they supposed to do now when it feels as if God has abandoned you, as if God has withdrawn from you? Where are you supposed to go? Do you think that woman who has lost both of her children, has lost her house, has lost her job from that deep, dark addiction that she has, but she still can't get sober, do you think she feels as if God has abandoned her? As if God has withdrawn from her? Or that 19-year-old boy who was sent over to Iraq, and the scales are pulled off his eyes, and he sees this humiliation. And he sees this intimidation, and he sees death in all these forms. And he comes back and he can't get them out of his head. Every time he closes his eyes, he sees their faces, he hears them crying. Do you think he feels as if God has withdrawn from him and from the world completely? On Ascension Sunday, when Jesus withdraws from us, do you feel that way when you lose your job, when you lose your spouse, when you lose your partner, when you lose your parents? When you try and heal, when you try and forgive, but it just doesn't happen. That healing just doesn't come. And it's easy to see, to think that God has withdrawn, that Jesus has abandoned the world. And where are we supposed to go when we feel like that? What are we supposed to do when that happens, when we feel as if God is gone? 2 weeks ago, I was over in the children's chapel, and I was hanging up our prayer shawls, arranging them, displaying them. And Jim McDonald came and said, "Liz, there is a woman wailing in the sanctuary, filling this whole room up with her weeping. Maybe you should go talk to her." I sat down and I talked to her. She was 21 years old and going through a breakup. She just needed to come and cry. She just needed a place to cry. Do you know what it says outside? "Behold, I have set before you an open door." I got a call on Wednesday from a person who is changing their gender. "Do you think there's room for me in your church? Do you think there's room for me in Christianity? Do you think there's room for me in the very heart of God? Behold, I have set before thee an open door." This is what God says. "Behold, I have set before thee in my heart, in my grace, in my life, an open door." On June 14th in the Gordon Chapel, we're going to baptize our first baby at the 9 o'clock morning prayer and communion. We are going to take a little critter named Maya Iris.
You're going to pour water
on her head. We are going to say, "Maya Iris, you are God's beloved. In you, God is so well pleased. Maya Iris, if you ever feel abandoned by God, Miss Maya, if you ever feel as if God has withdrawn from you or from the world, come back to this place. Come through these wide open doors. Come sing with us. Come pray with us. Come break open the scripture with us. And you will find that God is as close as the person next to you. If you feel abandoned, come back here and God will be as close as your very breath." This is the good news on Ascension Sunday. Jesus took them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hand. And he blessed them. He blessed you with a comforter. He blessed you with an advocate. He blessed you with the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what we'll celebrate next week. A sweet spirit to walk hand in hand with to build the church. To build a place where God is coming into the world. To build a home for the homeless. To build a care support system for caregivers in our midst. To build a new generation. Did you see them up here last week, all those youth? To build this new generation of youth that will not tease and mock. That will look after the weak. That will lift up the vulnerable. Amen? Together, hand in hand, we get this sweet spirit and we get to make church together. A place where anyone who feels abandoned can come and be overwhelmed by the sweet presence of God. Where broken hearts can come in to this place and be healed. This is the good news on Ascension. Jesus didn't so much as withdraw, as explode into this place. And you now his hands. And you now his heart. And you now that wide open door. On this Ascension Sunday, will you please say amen?
Amen.